And so if you'd like to turn with me to the second chapter of the book of Colossians, where we want to take some reading this morning. Excuse me. Second chapter in the book of Colossians. My thought this morning simply comes from the 10th verse, and that is being complete in Him. It was requested a song this morning about draw me near to the cross and draw me near to the Lord. We are, those of us that have been saved by God's grace, we were made whole, complete in Jesus Christ. And my thoughts today are going to be kind of from this chapter. So I wanted to start reading here. And again, my prayer is that the Lord would give you what you need today. I find it just amazing every time that whether a man's preaching, whether there's songs that are being sung, whether it's in prayer, that the Lord is able to supply every one of us exactly what we need. You know, we all have different lives and different lifestyles and different things, different personalities, but God is able to, by His Word and by His Spirit, just give you what you need right now. It's amazing to me, but that's how great a God we serve. And that's how amazing it is that you and I being complete in Him, that He's able to do these things for us every day if we look for it. And it's just so special that we're able to meet on Sundays and whenever else that we meet together in the purpose of serving the Lord who we're complete in, that He's able to do that even more, I believe, in a special way. For two or three are gathered in His name, He'll be in the midst of us. And of course, He's always there with us even when we're by ourselves. But I think He is glorified even more when we meet together in His name, for His purpose. And so it's glorious in that. So I want to start reading in the very first verse in this chapter. It says, Paul writing to the church at Colossae here, giving wonderful instruction. So with that thought of being complete in Him, it says, For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of our Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know, I love how Paul teaches and helps instruct. Now remember, at this time these are newly formed churches, right? These are those who are facing a lot of persecution. They're facing a lot of Satan's daggers and arrows and a lot of issues going on right here. This isn't like what we have today where we're you know, sitting comfortable here in four walls and really don't have much of a threat of anything. Remember this: the early churches, they were confronted with many dangers of their life following Jesus. So you think about his instruction here, and he's asking them, telling them that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. Very important characteristics of those who love the Lord. He says, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. He says, in whom are hid all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know, men and women and people in general are searching for knowledge and truth. Aren't you glad that being complete in Him, in those hidden treasures, the mystery of God that's hid in the Father and of Jesus Christ, that we have access to, and that He liberally gives you and I that great insight that nobody else has, but yet everybody seeks and they don't always realize it. We have access. It's hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know, it's not that we, you and I, seek wisdom and knowledge of this world. But boy, you know, when we're complete in Him and we're saved, we truly want to seek that, the power, the knowledge, the wisdom that God gives, because that is what is able to get us through to the next day, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. That's part of that, is growing in the knowledge and the wisdom of our Heavenly Father. And it's a glorious thing. And he moves on and says, this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. He says, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And so, it's wonderful, as he's instructing and encouraging them, that though I'm not with you in the flesh, he's like, I'm with you in the spirit. You know, that reminds me of many of those who have went on before us, and maybe some of, Brother Doug Skinner, right? He's not present, but he sent me to give you good word. And no doubt he loves you all in that. You know, much love that we have for each other is a good thing. Paul was expressing that. Joying, beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. He warns us here in the fourth verse, and he's warning them. He says, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. You know, we need to heed that warning today, don't we? We most certainly aren't beyond those who could come and pull us to a place where we shouldn't be. And it could sound very appealing. He calls it enticing words, and most certainly we need to be warned of that today. It's very easy, both personally in our personal lives, but also collectively as you hear as a church. This is a warning. But there's many great things here that Paul is going to walk us through. Next couple verses, he says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. He says, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Paul says, and he's speaking to those here at the church, you have been saved. He's reminding them. You know, excuse me, it's good to be reminded, isn't it? It's good to be reminded of the simple basic things, as Paul saying, and you have, as you have received Christ Jesus, you have assimilated with Him. He says, so walk ye in Him. Very simple. We need reminded of that all the time. Justin, you need to walk in Him. Remember, you have been purchased, you've been paid for, you need to walk in Him. And that's a good reminder for us all. And he it gets richer here as we go on. Where he's reminding them, and today, as my thought is revolving around being complete in Him, you think about the richness of being whole in Christ Jesus. Being drawn closer to the cross. And as he says, that we are rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Many of us, not all of us, We have a wonderful godly heritage of those who have instructed us in times past in the ways of the Lord, who have brought forth the gospel to us, who has been the examples to us. And we're very thankful for those as well. And he's reminding them that we've been rooted and built up in him. We've been established in the faith. And he's going to expound upon these things and he says, therein with much thanksgiving. And here's another warning in verse 8. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. That word spoil means seduce. It breaks my heart, brothers and sisters, in my short little life, that I have seen many brothers and sisters that have fallen by the wayside. They have been pulled away. They've been seduced by the things of the world. They have been, as he said, through philosophy and vain deceit. They've been pulled away. After the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. We need to continue to pray for them. You know, this younger generation, and I'll count myself in that, the temptations of being pulled away from the things of the world is very, very high. We have access today through the internet, through Facebook, through social media, to find any answers that our little hearts would inquire of. And we're able to search those things, and it's easy to be pulled away. You know, back before all of this, these things, the only way to find new information is if you ran into somebody that knew. Or you go to the library and read. And so today, this younger generation, and most certainly all of us still, even those that are older, we have access to these things that are easily able to pull us off track, to pull us away from those things that are important, those things which Paul is trying to instruct against, bringing to light. But most importantly, what Paul's trying to do here, and what I think is so important, is though these things be out there, and we need to be aware of them, the danger of them. There's a lot of good things, but the danger of them is that we're reminded who we really are, who God has made us to be. And we need to look on those things for a minute. In verse 9, for in him, so he just said, being seduced away through philosophies, through deceit, through the tradition of man, and not in the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. He says, for in him, speaking of Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now, this is getting really good here. And I'm probably going to fail you in trying to express how good this truly is. But I'm thankful that the Lord could give you a little taste of it yourself. Look here. He is telling us and reminding us that in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We know that in Christ Jesus, he came in the form of a man, as you and I. And in him was the Godhead presented fully. What's that mean? that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, representing the Godhead, was present in Christ Jesus in bodily form. We know that God sent His Son to come and take on this robe of flesh. And He was perfect. His mama was Mary, and His father was God. He had his stepdaddy there, Joseph. But we see that Jesus came to earth in bodily form, and in all the perfection He was here. And He took upon, as we know, the sin of the world. And He says that ye, let's make this personal, you are complete in Him. Think about that. The God who created all things that we see. I love studying and reading about creation and being able to go and learn about the human body and seeing the details and delicate things that God has, that nobody but God could put together to work perfectly. It amazes me. And to see the universe, the stars and the planets, and how far away the nearest star is light years away. I can't even fathom that. And that we're just a little speck of dust, our little planet, in a galaxy full of many other galaxies. That God created all of this, and here He sent His Son in bodily form so that you and I could have a relationship with Him, to be complete in Him alone. And now what more does that bring? It says that He is the head of all principality and power. You know what that means? He is the head of all rule and all strength. Jesus. Okay? Remember, we are complete in Him. And here He's telling us who Him is. I say He. He's telling us who He is. He is the head of all principality and power, of all rule and strength. You know what that symbolizes to me? All of the issues of life, all of the struggles, all of the things that you face that is contrary to Jesus, He is the ruler of them all. And then you and I are complete in Him, who's ruler over all those things. And then He goes on. We're complete in Him. He says in verse 11, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now, let's look at this for a minute. He's talking about circumcision. Let's look at for a minute what He's speaking of. Because this is rich, you see. This is so rich. As Paul is explaining this, that we, and he's speaking of the circumcision here. Romans 2, let's look at this for just a minute in the second chapter of Romans. Paul speaking about this circumcision. And this is very important. I would encourage you, as you read your scriptures, as you read the Bible, don't just overlook the things that you just may not understand at first glance. Because I'm telling you, if you do, you're missing some great richness of meaning. And so as he's talking about the circumcision, and we know well, let's just read the second chapter of Romans, starting in the 25th verse, he says, "For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. So it was in the law that the God's people, that the men, that they were to be circumcised at a certain day. And this was to be like a mark that you are God's people. Okay? And so this circumcision that was talking about, that was done for years and years and years in the Jewish lineage, the circumcision was supposed to happen so that you'd be identified with the Lord. And here, Paul is telling us really what that means from a spiritual standpoint. He says, "For the circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision." So he's saying, it would be good if you kept the law. And we all know that none of us could keep the law of God, right? The law was given, and it is provided to us as a schoolmaster to lead us to who? To Christ. And so none of us could follow the law perfectly. Therefore, he's saying the circumcision would be good if you could follow the law in its whole, in its entirety. He says, but if you're a breaker of the law, which all of us are, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision, like it's never happened. And he says, therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, speaking of those who have never had it, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? He says, and shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? A lot of words here. But essentially saying what I just mentioned. He said, there's those who have not been circumcised that are righteous. How is that? And he explains here that just because you are circumcised, you've broken the law, and you're none of his if you've broken the law. And this is important for here for a minute. And he goes on, he says, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not of the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So we know, and what Paul is referencing here, which is very important, that we are complete in him. Those of us who are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. He's speaking about being saved by God's grace and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. We know that Christ was the ultimate sacrifice, right? As he is the ruler of all principality, he was the fulfillment of the Godhead bodily to fulfill the law, the requirement that you and I could not do. So he's just putting a little rich spot there. He's enriching the purpose of Christ. That Jesus came in his bodily form and fulfilled that which circumcision and all the law couldn't take care of. Again, how we're completing him. And he goes on and he talks about in verse 12 that we're buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Aren't you glad today that Jesus Christ, and we see this picture of baptism, we see how beautiful it is, and we see, and he speaks about this again. See, Paul's referencing many different things as he's writing to the churches and to God's people. And back in Romans, we're going to get back to this in just a minute. In the sixth chapter of the book of Romans, Paul tells us this. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So as Paul is reminding us of his greatness, he's reminding us of who we're complete into. He says that we're buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. He says, and you being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your heart, hath he quickened, that means made alive, together with him, hath... having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing them in it. Listen, Christ, and we see this beautiful picture of baptism, don't we? We see it, oh, I can't wait to be able to baptize my daughter here soon. The beautiful picture of baptism, right? We see as Christ died for us on that tree. We see that he died for you and I. And we see that he was buried in that tomb. But he didn't stay there, did he? That beautiful picture of baptism, we go to the water's edge or go to the water. And it's a beautiful picture of the glory of the Lord as he was buried. He died. He was buried, but he didn't stay there. He rose from the grave, didn't he? And he's forever at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I, so that we can have that relationship with him, so that we can be complete in him. But baptism is that beautiful picture, isn't it? We know the baptism shows forth, and we know that a candidate presents himself for baptism, to join the Lord's church. And we go there to the water and we see a beautiful picture, don't we, of Christ. But we also see a very glorious picture. And it's a very personal picture. And it's something that you and I, how we got complete in him, shows. Now we tell them, right, the candidate, that they tell us their testimony of what happened between them and God. And listen, this is personal. This is how we become complete in him, isn't it? But we see this beautiful picture in baptism. And we see as we take that candidate, and we see that picture of them going down into the water, and then them coming up. And we see that beautiful picture of what took place with you and I. You know, we became dead to sin. Paul said, I was alive once, but the law, the commandment came, and that which I thought was made unto life became to me unto death. He said, when law came, the sin revived and I died. And you know, it's a beautiful picture of being lost. You know, when the Lord convicts a heart and a soul, they become separated from God. Dead. No life within them. But then, we see that I got to witness my beautiful daughter calling out in agony to the Lord to save her. And then you see that as that dead body was there, that the Lord put life within her, and she became a new person. She gets to walk in newness of life, and she became complete in him. And we see that beautiful picture of baptism. As they go down the waters, they were dead, but they didn't stay there. Because of Jesus Christ, they became complete in him. And they came up and walked in newness of life. And it's a beautiful picture of what took place in the soul. All because of Jesus Christ, you see. How you and I became complete in him. It's a glorious thing, isn't it? Baptism, that beautiful picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then of you personally, when you were dead to sin, you were buried essentially, you had no hope if it wasn't for someone who came to die on the cross and impart His grace into you. And then you were able to come up complete, whole, who was once dead. It's a miracle, isn't it? And so being complete in Him is glorious, and it's all because of Jesus Christ. And then we see in the 13th, 14th, and 15th verse of Colossians here, Christ's work. We see that He quickened together Him, forgiven you all your trespasses, the things that separated you from God, that made you incomplete. And He says, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, and it was contrary to us. And it says, it took out of the way, nailing it to His cross. Jesus took our sin upon Himself. Draw me near to the cross where Thou hast died. What's the purpose of that song? You read those words. And you and I need to always remember the sacrifice and the things that went in for Jesus to take Himself and give Himself freely for your sin. For us to remember that we have been complete, made complete in Him, all because of what He did for you and I. Draw me closer to the cross where Thou hast died. You know, it's beautiful. It says that He took these things, He took it out of the way, and He nailed it to His cross. And you know what He did by doing that? And I think this is just beautiful to me. Having spoiled principalities and powers, what does that mean? All rule and strength of this world. All of it. He took all of those things, and it says He made a show of them openly. And He triumphed over them openly in it. You picture Jesus as He was publicly. Jesus did none of this stuff privately. And that's important. Jesus did not hide who He was, did He? He showed forth His power to those that would listen. He preached the gospel truth to them. He did not sugarcoat anything. And He was there, and He gave Himself willingly, didn't He? When He was in that garden. His time had come. This is what He came to do. And as He was spat upon, He was beaten, He was ridiculed, openly, in public. Pilate, He showed up Himself before Pilate. And Pilate tried to dismiss it and said, this man's innocent. Herod said He was innocent. But the people cried out and said, no, crucify Him. Crucify Him. They would rather Barabbas go free rather than Jesus, an innocent man. Pilate tried to wash his hands up. But the people, you and I, wanted nothing of it. We, like those people, said, crucify Him. Your sins and my sins is why He went through it. They put those crown of thorns on His head and they beat it. And the pain and agony that He went through with the scourging, He did it openly. Not in private. He did it publicly. And then they made Him take His own cross up that hill to Golgotha. What a horrible but beautiful picture as He was going there. All so that you and I could be complete in Him. You realize that? All so that you and I, our sins could be wiped away clean. That there's nothing physically that we could do to our bodies. There's nothing physically that you and I could have done to earn that relationship, that completeness in Him. We deserve death and not to be raised up. But He made a show. He was lifted up between the heaven and the earth. In the most egregious way. He made a show of them. He spoiled the principalities and powers. He spoiled the rule and strength of this world. The rule and strength of Satan and everything else. The law, he fulfilled it. And he did it willingly and in public. It was a glorious thing that day as he did it openly. He made a show of it for you and I so that we can be complete in him. He nailed it to the cross. And he was reminding them of this glorious, glorious thought. Listen, brothers and sisters, you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. I hope and pray. Maybe you're discouraged today. Maybe there's things in your life that are distracting us from worshiping God in spirit and truth. Being reminded that we're complete in him. And why? How are we complete in him? Think about these things. You know, we say, oh, I'm thankful the Lord saved me. And most certainly we are. The gravity in which what Jesus went through, so that you and I can be complete in him, is amazing. It's a feat that you and I couldn't do. My hope and prayer is that we could always try to focus and always remember the reasoning behind why you and I have been set free. The power in which Paul was trying to instruct them, remind them to don't be warned about the things that will pull you away from following him. Reminding us that we are complete in him. So that we could take another one day at a time. Always looking to the cross. Looking to his sacrifice. So that we could worship and honor our loving Heavenly Father every day. I'm thankful. I'm complete in him. I've been thinking the last couple of days since my daughter got saved. She's just a babe in Christ. A few days old, right? And I got thinking, I'm looking forward for her to grow and to be more familiar about what truly took place a couple of days ago, about the why. To see the Lord help her to grow in knowledge and understanding and wisdom. You know, sometimes there's great joy for me, and hopefully it is for you too, to see those that are young in Christ. I don't mean young in age, but young in Christ, to grow in him and to see the Lord work in their life and that knowledge of Scripture. You know, it doesn't get old to me, folks. I stand in amazement every time I read about Jesus. Even though I've heard it a bazillion times, I stand in amazement every time hearing about Jesus preached, about him sung. And I'm looking forward for my daughter to learn more about Jesus. About what truly took place there on that Thursday night. And it's the same for you and I. I love it when I talk to dear brothers and sisters. They say, have you looked at it this way? Look at this. I was reading this the other day. Have you thought about this? And oh yeah, it's rich. What God has given you and I to be complete in him is something that is truly glorious. May we just continue to grow in his knowledge and power, his wisdom. And
That's you know, the message today. It's good to be back here. Thankful for y'all to have me.